Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. You know, we invite National Public Radio people on the show whenever we can get them. They're so knowledgeable and experienced and accomplished, and they can talk about all sorts of public affairs from all over the world and around the country. Tom Gelton, Ken Rudin, Julie Ravner, and more. Melissa Gray is no exception, but she's not one of those folks that I ever figured I'd be lucky enough to talk to because she's a producer. She's one of those behind-the-scenes people for All Things Considered, the afternoon news show that you hear every day here on WOSU 820. And heaven only knows all the amazing people that, Melissa has met and interviewed over the year to produce that show. But really, we don't really care about that. All we care about right now are her cake recipes and her new book, All Cakes Considered. NPR's award-winning legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg calls Melissa's book The Bible of Baking. And Noah Adams, NPR's national desk correspondent and former co-host of All Things Considered, says that Melissa is the most whimsical of the All Things Considered staff. So really, how could we go wrong today? Melissa Gray, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ann.
It's an absolutely beautiful book, by the way. Just looking at the pictures, if you're a picture gazer, this is the book for you.
Well, you know, eyes lead to the stomach, and of course, eyes lead to the stomach. Stomach leads to the waistline. But anyway, it's a feast for the eyes and for everything else in your body.
It's absolutely beautiful. I just want to remind listeners that your support is the foundation of our budget, of our waistline. Please make your pledge of support right now at WOSU.org or by calling 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. Our goal this hour, $2,000. We can meet it with your help, as usual. Online pledges count toward the goal, too, at WOSU.org. And with a pledge of support at the $120 level, our thank you gift to you will be the book, All Cakes Considered, at the $120 level. This book is perfect for bakers, NPR junkies, and for people who like to look at pictures of beautiful cakes. Go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. You know, Melissa, cakes are one of those things that when you're going to bake a cake, often it's for a special occasion.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think most people, when they think about cakes, the first thought is usually that birthday cake. And it's usually a layered birthday cake. And usually, I think it's chocolate. And it might be chocolate over chocolate, or it might be chocolate over, you know, yellow cake. But that's sort of the stereotypical characteristic image that pops into everybody's head. And then, of course, you've got people who are a little bit more of a cake aficionados, and they like the red velvet cakes. They like the spice cakes. And then you have the people who are, you know, more into pound cakes. But cake is something that I think is pretty universally loved. I very rarely meet somebody who turns down a cake because they just don't like cake. I have people turn them down because they're on diets, but not because they dislike cake.
Even when I'm on a diet, I eat cake. I'm one of those people. If I worked in your office, I'd be one of the first ones lined up at the table every Monday morning. How long – now, tell us about this tradition and how it started, because really it's called All Cakes Considered for a reason. It's a year's worth of weekly recipes tested, tasted, and approved by the staff of NPR's All Things Considered.
Well, I should say it's a year's worth of recipes, but not to be confused with those books that are like, you know, a year of living biblically or a year of doing this. Mm-hmm. This project took the course of about 3 years, and it's still ongoing. I've worked at All Things Considered now. I just celebrated my fourth anniversary last week working for the show, and that's 4 years of bringing cakes and all sorts of baked goods in every single Monday. When we went to put the book together, we decided to cull my best recipes and decided to come up with 52, at least 52. There are more in there because there are variations on how to do different types of cakes with the same recipe. But we wanted to get the stuff that were absolute hits. That was one of the headaches that I had when I was learning how to bake. And before I get into those headaches, let me tell you how the project started, which is your original question here. So I had worked at Morning Edition 4 or 5 years. And I'd worked on the overnight, which is a pretty isolating shift. People knew who I was, and some people had worked with me before, but they didn't really know me. I'd left NPR for about 17 months to do another job, and then I decided to come back to NPR because really this is the best place to work if you want to work in radio. It's fabulous. The people here are so knowledgeable. They are so much fun. The job is fascinating. And it's like being in school, because you learn stuff every single day.
Right.
Now, when I came back, I thought, you know, I'm going to a brand new staff. Only a couple of them know me. And what could I do to sort of grease the social wheels? Well, while I had been off, I had come across a couple of cake recipes, and I thought, you know, I really only have three really good cake recipes, and I would love to learn to bake better. So let me try one of these recipes. And I tried this cake. It was Martha Washington's Great Cake. It's a sort of fruit-filled confection. It's not a fruit cake, but it's like a fruity cake from Mount Vernon. I'd gotten the recipe when we went out there for the holidays to take the tour. And I tried it, and I brought it in, and people looked at me like I had a third eye. Like, why are you bringing – they were very suspicious initially, which I guess is sort of the journalistic, you know, first reaction to anything out of the ordinary is to question it. But as soon as they started eating, all the suspicion went away, and I had instant friends. And that's pretty much how the project started. I just wanted to learn how to bake more cakes. I wanted to try more recipes. I wanted to have more in my arsenal in case a special occasion did come up. And I initially intended only to bake for about 3 months, just to do one every weekend. But then it just sort of took a life of its own. People would come up and say, what are you making on Monday? Or can you do this cake? Can you do that cake? I really would like to have a key lime cake. Can you find something like that? And then the next thing I knew, after culling all these sources to find these recipes, I had another collection of recipes to try. And it just, it snowballed. It took on a life of its own.
You're listening to Melissa Gray. She's a producer on NPR's All Things Considered, and we're talking about her new book, All Cakes Considered. It's a year's worth of weekly recipes tested, tasted, and approved by the staff of NPR's All Things Considered. If you are an NPR junkie like I am, it's a lot of fun just to read the book and get some, you know, hear about and or read about some of the folks there. All Cakes Considered is a witty, humorous, and easy-to-follow book of recipes, too, for more than 50 cakes. And at the $120 pledge level, you will learn what Morning Edition's Steve Inskeep thinks of Melissa's cakes. Call 1-866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org and find out more about this book at the $120 pledge level. But remember, your support at any level is appreciated at WOSU. It is the foundation of our budget. Please make your pledge of support right now. Our goal this hour is $2,000. We can meet this goal with your help. Online pledges count toward the goal as well. Go to WOSU.org to do that. You can see a picture of the book as well. It's a beautiful book, and I love all of the Depression era, not to be confused with Recession era, China that is on the front cover with the old radio and stuff. Why the kind of the old-fashioned scenario there, Melissa?
Well, I had asked when we came up with designing the book, I wanted it to be sort of retro, hip, and funky, mainly because I guess the impetus on my recipes, when I first started, they were all old recipes from my grandmother, from my great aunts. And so the idea of me getting back in the kitchen and sort of following in their footsteps sort of threw me back to like the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, and the 50s. So I like the idea of kind of going hip retro. And I think a lot of people my age, I'm 40 now, kind of, you know, when you want to go back to doing things, you kind of feel like you're going back into the past, because nowadays, especially with women, you know, we're more career-oriented, we're less house-oriented, and it's sort of, you know, it is like traveling back in the past when you focus on something that's domestic, like cooking or baking.
You'll never have to have another baking book, at least another cake baking book, after this. All Cakes Considered is exactly what it covers, the complete waterfront, and with a pledge of support at the $120 level, our thank you gift to you will be the book All Cakes Considered. It is perfect for bakers, for anybody you know that loves to bake. This would be the book you'd automatically go to. I know it will be the book I go to the next time I make cakes. For anything, for any special occasion, and there are a lot of different cakes in there, all different kinds. 1-866-897-9678 with a pledge of $120 will get you that book as our thank you gift. Or you can go to WOSU.org and pledge online and also get a good look at the book. It is a beautiful full-color book, and it's not just recipes. Melissa, you also have sort of a process about how to approach the book.
Yes, I do. When I started learning how to bake cakes, and like I said, I just started, you know, I trolled for recipes, and they came from everywhere. And I tried a lot of things that were, frankly, a little more advanced than my skills were at the time. And I found that really frustrating, because sometimes a recipe wouldn't work out, and I wouldn't know, was it me or was it the recipe? And so when I sat down to put the book together, I thought, I'm going to do something that I haven't seen. I'm going to put the recipes in order from easiest to most difficult, so that as you're going through the book, And if you follow the book from recipe to recipe, you're increasing your skills each time so that by the time you get to the last recipe in the book, you will be able to do it with ease. That cake at the end is something called the heaven and hell cake. It's a combination of angel food, devil's food, peanut butter mousse, and chocolate ganache, all of which, you know, individually can be a little tricky, but when you combine it, it's just, you know, spelling disaster if you haven't baked a lot of cakes. But like I said, by the time you get through the book and you've already learned how to do angel food cake, you've learned how to fold, you've learned how to deal with egg whites, it becomes a pretty easy cake to put together, surprisingly. So
It looks pretty complicated, but it looks so good it would be worth the trouble.
It's a heart attack on a platter, I think. It's just it makes your teeth ache. It is so sweet, and it's a cake that it's a showy cake. It's something you want to do to really show off and make a splash. And if you'd make this cake one time, they will talk about it for years.
This is the perfect compilation of cake recipes. I mean, I'm not going to list them all, but cocoa bread with stewed yard peaches, Mary Carol Battle's Mother's Wacky Cake with 7-Minute Frosting, ATF gingerbread, three different gingerbreads, I think. Dory Greenspan's rum-drenched vanilla cakes, Miss Saigon cinnamon almond coffee cake, key lime cake, traveling cake, banana cake, Paula Deen's grand girl's fresh apple cake from Georgia, honey buttercream and apricot jam cake. I mean, I'm just flying around here just whipping these things off. Of course, Stephen Pyle's heaven and hell cake, the Liberace of layer cakes, which Melissa just described. All of this, our thank you gift to you. At the $120 pledge level, call 1-866-897-9678. Tell people about this is a great gift for people. And also Valentine's Day. I wanted to mention that. Valentine's Day is coming up. It's a classic time to bake something sweet for your sweetie. There are so many beautiful cakes in this book. And Melissa, your background is in art. Or you did some kind of design work in college, right?
Right. I've got an undergraduate degree in art, and I have a master's degree in art as well.
And you're in a medium that has
radio.
Is complete. But you got your yayas out with All Cakes Considered.
Yes, this is true.
Obviously, 1-866-897-9678. You can call and talk to Melissa yourself, too. She's got lots of great tips, a lot of good advice about how to bake the best cake, 614-292-8513. Or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. With a pledge of support at the $120 level, our thank you gift to you will be the book, All Cakes Considered. It's perfect for bakers, for NPR junkies, and for anyone who likes to look at beautiful pictures of beautiful cakes. Go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. Melissa, what does ATC stand for?
ATC stands for All Things
Considered. Okay.
Which is the name of the show. And at NPR, we have lots of acronyms for different shows, and that's how we refer to them. Morning Edition is referred to as Morning. ATC, All Things Considered. And then for the weekend shows, we have We Sat and We Sun, Weekend Edition Saturday, Weekend Edition Sunday. And the All Things Considered that airs on the weekends is called WATC, WATC. And we jokingly call Talk of the Nation Taco Nation.
See, you can really become an insider just by, A, listening to this show, B, calling in to talk to Melissa at 614-292-8513, or going to email at allsides@wosu.org, or making your pledge right now to WOSU at the $120 level. Our thank you gift will be a copy of this beautiful book, All Cakes Considered. Really, I'm a book hook collector. I love cookbooks. I love them. I like just to look at the pictures. They inspire me, and this book is inspirational. Absolutely beautiful. What catches your eye about a recipe, Melissa?
Gosh, I think it's the ingredients. I don't really go by pictures anymore because I've seen a lot of cakes. I've made a lot of cakes. I'm more curious these days about what's in the cake and if there's a story behind the cake, because I actually love recipes that have a historical precedent or maybe a literary precedent, and that gets me excited. There's a recipe that I have in another book that I've been waiting to try, which I'll be trying probably on the 12th of February. That's Lincoln's birthday, Abraham Lincoln was a fanatic for gingerbread. And as you mentioned, I have, you know, a bunch of gingerbread recipes in the book because I love gingerbread. This is supposedly the recipe that he enjoyed the most. Now, how do we know that? I have no idea. People say things and claim that this is, you know, this is the one that Abraham Lincoln loved. But I really want to try that. So it's just that curiosity that gets me sometimes. I really want to see or get, you know, I want to taste what George Washington tasted. I want to get an idea of what a lame cake is, and that's one of the recipes that is in the book. Many of your listeners may remember from To Kill a Mockingbird.
Mm-hmm.
The character of Maudie Atkins, she is the older widow woman who lives on the street that Atticus Finch and his two children live on. And she's sort of, in a way, a substitute mother for Scout, who's the main character. And it's mentioned several times that, you know, Miss Maudie, in addition to being an excellent gardener, was also an excellent baker. And twice in the book it's mentioned that she made a lame cake. And the lame cake was described by Scout as being so tight, had so much shinny in it, it made me tight. Which I've always wondered exactly how much, what is shinny first? And how much would make a grade schooler tight? And so I decided to go ahead on a hunt for a lame cake recipe and found one and found the story behind it. It was a cake from the Alabama State Fair, I believe, in the turn of the century or the early part of the 20th century. And I think it only won second place, but it's become, you know, among ladies in the South who bake cakes, it's become one that everybody talks about. It has a cherry, fruity alcohol filling that also makes the topping of the cake as well. It's a delicious cake. It's got a kick to it, that's for sure.
So shinny is indeed
booze.
Booze.
It's
okay.
Booze, babe.
Okay.
Some of the best cakes have booze.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough to really do anything to you, but it's enough to kind of make you stand up and go, hey.
Hey, this is making me stand up and go, hey. Our goal was $2,000. We now have $1,500 to go this hour. Thank you so much to everybody who has taken the time to give us a call at 1-866-897-9678 or go to WOSU.org. Online pledges work as well to reach our goal this hour, which was $2,000, with a pledge of support at the $120 level. Our thank you gift to you will be the book All Cakes Considered. It's perfect for bakers. It's perfect for anybody who loves to make a special occasion more special. Melissa Gray is NPR's cake lady. She is with us today to talk about her new book, but she's also the producer for All Things Considered, and Melissa knows how important your pledge of support is. That's why she's with us today. Go to WOSU.org and select All Cakes Considered at the $120 pledge level or call 1-866-897-9678. This book would make a great gift, no question about it. So you might want to grab a couple. They don't get any prettier. They don't get any more informative. And it really was nice, Melissa, I like to learn stuff from cookbooks. I like to be taught something. And, you know, cakes really aren't something we make every day anymore. It's not that common, even though we all secretly would like to do it better. We're kind of addicted to those stupid boxes, and they don't taste as good.
No, they really don't taste as good. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm so just opposed to cake mixes, mainly because cake mixes are sort of diabolical. They make you think it's less work, but really it's not. It doesn't take that much more extra effort to measure out your ingredients and mix them together. And if you're using fresh ingredients, you're not going to get preservatives that are kind of stuck in your cake mixes because
those taste
they've got
funny.
To stay on the shelves for a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That you can taste them, too.
Yeah, you totally can. You totally can taste the difference. So, yeah, I'm a big proponent of do-it-yourself from scratch. And, you know, a cake does not have to be complicated. A cake can be really simple and delicious. And you can fool people into thinking that you slaved. It's sort of like that wonderful Rice Krispies commercial. Remember that? With the
oh, I
the
love that commercial.
And the kids are out there, and she's, you know, pretending she's slaving over the Rice Krispie
flour.
Treat. Yeah, flour in her face, then goes out with her arms slumped over like she's really done something. We all know Rice Krispies treats are super easy to make. Well, you can pretty much do that with the first, you know, dozen recipes in this book. They're really simple to make. You just have to follow, you know, you got to learn how to do it easy. And like we talked earlier about the way I put this book together, I really wanted to make a book to sort of take the anxiety out of baking a cake. For people who haven't baked a lot or just don't have a lot of exposure to baking, didn't grow up with it, it's not that hard.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to know a few simple things, and it makes your baking a lot easier. For one thing, if your cake recipe calls for butter, and it's not melted butter, if it's calling for butter, use room temperature butter. It helps your sugar dissolve a lot easier.
Yeah, you know, you really went into detail about how to cream your sugar and your butter together, and that's something I need to work harder at.
That was like the Holy Grail when I realized what a difference that made. I learned it from another book that I found that had all these really great tips about mixing and ingredients, and I kept thinking, how come all cookbooks don't have this information in it? That would make my life a lot easier.
Did you ever go back into old cookbooks, Melissa, and look at, like, from I like old cookbooks. I get them from the 1950s at garage sales and things like that. And it is sort of like Greek sometimes.
Sometimes it is. The thing that tickles me a lot about the older cookbooks, it seems they used coffee as a liquid in a lot of chocolate cakes. I had an American Woman's cookbook from the 1940s that my husband found for me after I had seen this recipe from it reprinted in the Washington Post. And I was just very curious about this book. He managed to get a copy because the book's been out of print for, I think, 50 years, and he got an old copy for me. It is fascinating to read that a lot of the recipes are more shorthand than we're used to, because back then people who cooked all the time.
Right.
They didn't have to be told, oh, you have to do this step before you do, you know, this. They were just like, you know, brown the meat, do this, do that. But the coffee inclusion was fascinating to me. And I would think that we would have a resurgence of that these days, given how much coffee as a country we drink. Mm-hmm. I know we drink a lot around here because it's so busy with the news and everything. We're jacked up on caffeine most of the time.
The only time I've ever used liquid coffee in a recipe was for a banana bread.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, I think it was from Molly Katzen's The Moosewood. But back to cakes. there are more than just cakes in this book. You'll find out if you make a pledge of $120 to WOSU. You can go to 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. Or you can pledge online in our secure server at WOSU.org. We have $1,320 to go. $1,320 to go out of a our goal of $2,000. Thank you so much to everybody who has made their pledge so far. We appreciate it. You won't regret it. I promise you. It's a beautiful book. It's very substantial with a lot of information in it. And it also isn't just a cake book because, Melissa, you aren't just a cake baker.
No, I'm a crazy, wacky person who happens to work at NPR and have lots of interesting stories and backgrounds with these cakes. You know, I bring them in every Monday, and I invite the people that I work with to weigh in and let me know what they think of what I've made. And I've gotten a lot of really interesting suggestions and good feedback from my colleagues over the years. Ari Shapiro, who is our justice correspondent and also fills in for Morning Edition co-hosting, Ari often gives me some of the most insightful suggestions for cakes. I was having a problem with a Rosh Hashanah cake one time. Not being Jewish, I wasn't sure exactly how this was supposed to taste, and I had Ari come down, and he's like, well, it tastes like every single Rosh Hashanah cake I've ever had, which means it's dry and tasteless, which is good for you, but, you know, let's think about how we can do this a little bit better. And as he and I were talking back and forth, I decided to go ahead and put brown sugar in it because brown sugar is more moist. It would also bring a little bit more flavor to the cake. And I reworked that recipe a couple times and finally got it to the point where not only was it acceptable as a Rosh Hashanah cake, but it was also delicious.
You have rules for your cake project.
I do have rules for my cake project. No store-bought mixes, ever. No store-bought frostings. Although occasionally, if it's buttercream and I'm having a headache with buttercream, I might cheat.
And she's truthful, too, folks.
Yeah, I'm very truthful about it. I do full disclosure with my cakes. I don't put secret ingredients in my cakes. I worked with somebody at Morning who did that, and it drove me nuts because you'd be sitting there eating this, you know, what you think is a chocolate piece of nice chocolate cake, and she'd go, guess the secret ingredient. It would turn out to be something like cauliflower or potato chips, and it's like, I don't want that in my cakes, and I don't want to spring that on people. So I always do full disclosure about what's in the cake. You know, people have nut allergies. People have chocolate allergies. You know, you want to let people know what's in the cake. So that's one of my number one rules is full disclosure on the cake. I also, when I was doing the cake project initially, no repeats. I always wanted to try a new recipe or maybe a new way of doing an old recipe. And if something didn't work, if a recipe bombed, I always tried it again, or I would go back and tinker with it until I could get the recipe to work correctly. And through the course of doing this, I discovered a lot of recipes out there have mistakes in them. And, you know, if you're a novice baker or someone who just bakes occasionally, you might think it's you and you might get dissuaded and stop or not go back to a recipe that has potential to be delicious if only you could figure out what the problem was. And so I kind of got into sort of the CSI cake mode, where I would sit there and try to like dissect what went wrong with the cake. And I got fairly good at troubleshooting several recipes. And you know, I do have listeners who have gotten the book and emailed me at NPR because they've had a problem working with one of the recipes. And I'm happy to say it's never the recipe. It's always the technique. Somebody didn't do something correctly, or maybe they used yams instead of sweet potatoes, or maybe they didn't read the recipe correctly, and we've been able to troubleshoot their problem.
Another note there, though, is you know where Melissa Gray works.
You can find me.
You can know where to find her. She's the author of All Cakes Considered. She is also producer of NPR's All Things Considered. And the book is a year's worth of Weekly West recipes tested, tasted, and approved by the staff of NPR's All Things Considered. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News, and this is our winter membership drive. Remember, your support, it's the foundation of our budget. It is the butter in our budget. It is the flour in our budget. It is the basics, the eggs, and the vanilla. Please make your pledge of support right now at WOSU.org or by calling 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. We have $1,320 to go, and I want to send out thanks to Robert in Columbus and also to Joseph and Carolyn in Westerville. Thanks for your support. With a pledge at the $120 level, our thank you gift to you will be the book All Cakes Considered at the $120 level. It is certainly worth the investment. Not only are you investing in public radio, WOSU 820, you're investing in a beautiful book that would make a wonderful gift, or whatever you make from the book would make many, many wonderful gifts in the future to come. Once again, I want to remind people that Valentine's Day is coming up, and how about getting old-fashioned this year? What better year to do it and bake a Valentine's cake for somebody? It's a perfect gift, particularly in these days. If you would like to speak with Melissa Gray, give us a call at 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Truly, she is a radio producer, but she's also an artist, and Melissa has written the book All Cakes Considered, and she's learned a lot in the process. 614-292-8513 to speak with Melissa. And Rod, you're on the air with Melissa. Oops. Rod, you're on the air.
Yes, I had a question. You know, if they have a good recipe for fruitcake, I like fruitcake over the holidays, and the best one I found so far, and it's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, most fruitcakes are kind of gooey and all that.
Yeah, they're syrupy.
And the best one I found so far uses Pillsbury's date quick bread as a base, and it's more like a quick bread cake or something like that, and I was wondering if you might have something like that.
I have two recipes that could kind of be fruit cakes in the book. One is that Martha Washington great cake that I mentioned earlier. The base of that cake is it's more of a cake base. It's a heavy base because one of the keys to doing a really good fruit cake, if you don't want them one that's gooey and syrupy, and the reason those are gooey and syrupy is because they use sugar as a preservative for the fruits. It can be just a little too much for a lot of folks. But the other side of fruit cakes is to use one that has that kind of cakeish base. The Martha Washington cake has that cakeish base. It's a very thick batter. And the fruits you use are fresh or they're dried, and it holds up really well. It's also sort of a moist fruit cake. Like I said, a little bit more cakey than fruit. There's another fruit cake recipe, and they're called a faux fruit cake recipe. Also has a similar base that's very thick, very cake-like, but the faux fruits are candied oranges. It has coconut in it, I believe. It's been a while since I've made it, about 2 years. But it was delicious. It was very sweet and very easy to make. And also, another cake that's a little bit more on the cakey side is Paula Deen's. Let me see if I can get this title right because it's a mouthful. I think it is Fresh Grand Girls Fresh Apple Cake from Georgia. Again, another really thick base to your cake. You know, the thicker it is, the more it can hold the fruit, and the fruit's not going to sink to the bottom. So those are the three kind of fruity fruitcake recipes that I have in the book.
The full fruitcake recipe includes 1 pound of orange slices gummy candy.
That's what it is. And I say definitely get, like, fresh ones, because the first time I did it, I got some old ones that must have been on the shelf for, like, 2 years themselves. They were hard, and I had to really use a fulcrum to get them cut up. If you use the softer ones, it works a lot better. I know a lot of people don't like fruitcakes, but the faux fruitcake recipe is one that folks were really surprised how much they liked it.
Does that help, Rod?
That helps a little bit, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Well,
thank you very much.
Thank you, Rod.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News, and this is our winter membership drive. I'm speaking today with Melissa Gray. She's a good producer on All Things Considered, but she's also author of All Cakes Considered, and she's fondly referred to as NPR's Cake Lady. Give us a call at 1-866-897-9678 to make your pledge now. We are down to $1,100 to go, thanks to Rachel in Columbus and thanks to Charles and Nicola and also in Columbus. Thanks to everybody for showing your support for public radio this morning. Our goal was $2,000, and we have $1,100 to go. 1-866-897-9678. Or go to WOSU.org to our secure server, and you can pledge online, and that will count toward the goal as well. 1-866-897-9678. You have $920 to go. Thanks to everybody for showing your support. You won't regret it if you've pledged at the $120 level. You will receive our gift to you, All Cakes Considered. It's a year's worth of weekly recipes tested, tasted, and approved by the staff of NPR's All Things Considered. You know, it's kind of cool, Melissa, that you can, you know, talk about these pretty famous people and what their favorite cakes are and what they like and maybe even some of their bad habits.
Well, we got one bad habit in there. We never identified who did it because we didn't want his reputation to suffer. But when you bring a cake into work, it's fascinating to watch the different ways people have of eating cake. You've got the folks that just come up immediately and get their slice, and then you have the people who are a little bit shy. They don't want people to know they're you know, going to eat a slice of cake. And then you have the people who are just unabashed about getting a second or third slice. And then you have this, this drives me nuts. They'll devour the cake. The cake will be almost completely gone within 20 minutes except for that one last slice. And suddenly nobody wants to eat the very last slice of cake because there might be someone else coming in who wants a slice of cake. But the problem is that one little slice is just sitting there drying out as the day goes on because nobody wants to be the last person who takes the piece of cake. And so the last slice will then get cut in half. And then half of the slice will sit there for a while, a long while. And then somebody will come along and cut it into a quarter. And then there'll be a quarter of a cake just sitting there. And then finally, one person, usually different people on our staff, will be the one who says, you know, I can't take it anymore, and they will finish the cake. But it is fun, it is fascinating, and about that little bad incident that happened, we have someone here who is a total frosting fiend, loves frosting. For them, frosting is a delivery system. A cake is a delivery system for frosting. It's all about the frosting. And I had I can't remember what kind of cake it was, but I had a cake up front that had, I think it was cream cheese frosting on it. Really delicious frosting. And he walked by and went, ooh, cake, and took his bare hands and scalped the frosting off of the cake, leaving basically 3/4 of a cake sliced there with no frosting, and just took it off and ate it and toddled off down the hall. We couldn't believe it. We were shocked that somebody would do something like that. So now every time I make a cake that's got frosting, people are like, I got to get here before that person walks by.
I have a feeling that my bad habit is being the one who takes the last piece. I think nothing of it. I think nothing of that, and I don't know what that makes me, but I think when people see me heading toward the cake, they know they better go in and get what they can while I'm still, you know, while there's still time. I'm speaking with Melissa Gray. She's NPR's Cake Lady. She is here today to talk about her new book, All Cakes Considered. She's also producer for All Things Considered, and Melissa knows how important your pledge of support is. She's done it before herself at public radio stations. Go to WOSU.org and select All Cakes Considered at the $120 pledge level, or call 1-866-897-9678. You can speak with Melissa at 614-292-8513. Or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have another caller now about fruitcake. Leslie, you're on the air. Thanks for your call.
Hello.
Hi. How you doing?
Yes, I am.
Yep.
Hello.
Hi, Leslie.
Hello. About 10 years ago, there was an article by a lady who had gone to Jamaica on a visit. And in that article was a recipe for Jamaican black cake.
Hmm.
And we used it for several years until we lost the recipe.
Oh, dear.
And we can't find it in their database, but it was one of the most delicious fruitcakes I've ever eaten. You have to start it 3 months before you're going to serve it.
Oh, this is one that you have to basically marinate, or let the fruit and everything get...
Fruit marinade and the rum.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it takes 3 months of preparation to make this cake.
Tell me about it. Tell me a little bit more about what's in the cake.
There's rum and brown sugar, lots of candied fruit, and cherries and citron. And you let that soak forever in this alcohol mixture.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's got flour and sugar and raisins and nuts. And you basically have to, after you've baked it, you have to let it drain.
Mm-hmm.
So wet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like a pudding.
Mm-hmm.
When you first make it. But
sounds like it would keep forever, too, with all that alcohol and sugar.
Oh, yes, it will. And I know people who swear up and down they would never eat fruitcake, who will eat this fruitcake. We used to make a bunch of them and pass them out at Christmas time. But we've lost the recipe, and it was called Jamaican black cake, and it really is black.
Okay.
When it's finished.
Well, Leslie, if you can ask somebody there when you get off the phone, ask them, give them your number, and let them get it back to me, or your email address, and I will start researching and see if I can find a recipe that's similar to it. I love sleuthing for recipes. I love looking around, and maybe eventually I can come across something that's similar to it and try it myself. I really think fruitcake gets a bad rap, and I think people need to be more open-minded about fruitcakes. I found a really cool recipe that's not in the book. It may be in a future book. It's not really a cake, but like a fruit candy that was made in the Middle Ages in Italy. Pianoforte, I think, is what it's called. And you have your citron candies, you have your cherries, you have your nuts, and you get your sugar up to, I think, a hardball stage. You boil it, and then you mix all of this together. And imagine my shock. People would not try it because it looked too much like a fruitcake. But you know who loved this? Nina Totenberg.
Hmm.
Who would have guessed? She's crazy about it. But, yeah, I would love to look this up. And I bet the Jamaican black cake also has some really good spices in it, too.
Okay, we'll get an email address for Leslie and find out the origins of a Jamaican black cake and maybe even find the recipe. Melissa Gray has offered to do that. Isn't she swell? She's also a producer at NPR's All Things Considered, and she's author of All Cakes Considered. One of the other subtitles that I haven't mentioned yet is How to Keep Your Coworkers Happy, Friendly, and Fatter Than You. So she's got a little sense of humor, too, folks, and it shows throughout the book. Give us a call at 1-866-897-9678. We're kind of stalled at $920 to go, and we have about 16 minutes to go. So we got to step it up and think positive, because I'm telling you, everything in this book, for $120, you'll get our gift of All Cakes Considered, and you won't regret it. It's just a beautiful, beautiful cookbook. If you're a cookbook collector, you'll want this. It has all kinds of great stories about NPR, the people that you know from on the air. There's all kinds of stories behind the cakes. Almost every cake has a story. There's beautiful photography and wonderful recipes, just about as many as you can think of, plus a whole section on cookies. Give us a call, 1-866-897-9678, or go to WOSU.org to make that pledge. We need your help. We need your support. This is your time to show the support for public radio. This is the time to show, give us the support we need. Like I said earlier, you're like the butter and the eggs and the flour in our cake. We need your help. You are the foundation of our budget. Make no mistake about it. And Melissa Gray knows that. She's worked at public radio stations before. She knows what it's like to raise money to support the station and how much we depend on our listeners for their support. This book has more than 50 recipes for cakes that have been drooled over for a lifetime, including brown sugar pound cake and chocolate rum marble cake. One of my favorites, Melissa, is the Naughty Senator. I mean, there's a lot. There's so many great stories in there. But the Naughty Senator, let's tease people with that. Give us a call at 1-866-897-9678 or go to WOSU.org. Show your support. Let's move it on. We've got about 10 minutes to go and $920 to go to reach our goal of $2,000 this hour. 1-866-897-9678. Or go to WOSU.org. You'll be able to see a picture of the beautiful book and more information about it. Melissa, tell us about the Naughty Senator.
Well, the Naughty Senator is probably a recipe I would not have come up with if I hadn't been working at NPR. I don't know. Your listeners probably don't realize. Indeed, we have a lot of people come through here, and we do interviews with senators and congressmen all the time. And frequently they do come in, and they always smell of peppermint. And I guess it's a public speaking thing because you're talking to folks so often and talking to reporters so often that you don't want to, you know, bowl them over with bad breath. But they always – senators usually smell really good. And I was trying to think of – I was home, and I was trying to think of a cake that would be great to do as a marbling technique for the book. I wanted one that you could learn how to fold and marble. And I thought, okay, what flavors would go well? And as I'm sitting here thinking about this, the Larry Craig story broke on cable television, and they kept replaying that clip that he did from Meet the Press. Now, let me remind people, Larry Craig mm-hmm. is the senator, I believe, from Idaho, who was caught in a Minneapolis bathroom supposedly soliciting an undercover cop. He was looking for love in all the wrong places, mm-hmm. I wrote in the book. Mm-hmm. And the scandal broke. He's a Republican senator, and of course there was a lot of tisking and charges of hypocrisy. But the thing that was interesting is they kept bringing up this clip from Meet the Press during the Bill Clinton era when Craig was on Meet the Press saying that Clinton had been a naughty boy, a bad boy, a naughty boy. He kept saying naughty boy. They kept playing it. And it tickled me on one level. You know, the whole naughty boy thing. And I thought, well, you know, you should talk because you're obviously a naughty senator. And then I started thinking, well, wouldn't that be a great name for a cake? And what flavor would a naughty senator be? And, of course, peppermint was the first thing I thought
Very
of.
Very minty.
Peppermint, because they always smell of mint. And it would have to be green because most senators are pretty well off. They've got a lot of money. And then I thought, okay, what's the other complimentary flavor to go into this marble cake? Well, definitely chocolate. Chocolate to me is really rich. And like I said, most senators are really rich. And then rum, because to me rum means debauchery. So I mixed all these flavors together and came up with the Naughty Senator. And that's the story behind it. And I could thank Larry Craig for it.
And it's a beautiful cake, too. It's a marble cake. And and with the Naughty Senator, you get a little quick lesson on marbling.
And you also get to use green food dye. And people love the green cake. It's hysterical to watch people come up, and they're like, oh, it's green.
And it's a great cake for that event coming up in March on St. Patty's Day.
It would be an excellent cake for St. Patty's Day. I think I've been toying with the idea of making a red Naughty Senator for Valentine's Day. Mm. Instead of doing the green food coloring, doing red.
It would be just as good with peppermint.
It would be.
We are getting close. $700 to go in just about 11 minutes. Give us a call, 1-866-897-9678. Give what you can. Not everybody can handle the $120, and we understand that, but we support any support. Every call matters. Every pledge matters. Every single one of them does. We appreciate everything you can do. We appreciate, first of all, that you're listening to us right now more than anything. That shows that you care about what you listen to. You care about the sort of things that that matter in the world that to make this a little bit better world. And Cake's not the least of which. And we're speaking with Melissa Gray right now. She's a producer on All Things Considered. And she is also NPR's Cake Lady. She's written a book, All Cakes Considered. The money you give us helps to pay for All Things Considered, and that helps keep Melissa on the job and creating cake recipes and more cake books, hopefully, in the future. Like coffee spice cake, Paula Deen's almond sour cream pound cake. Paula Deen's kind of a favorite of yours.
She is a favorite of mine, yeah, because I think it's because Paula Deen is so unapologetically, she's pro-butter.
Uh-huh.
And in this day and age, people are always watching their cholesterol and their weight. But the thing is, when you're going to have cake, if you're going to sin. I mean, don't try to undercut it by using like low fat ingredients. Just have a smaller piece, and that's one reason why I do enjoy Paula. And her recipes are usually really good. I haven't found a dog among them yet.
There is one thing you talk about re-caking.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Re-caking is when you have a recipe that, for some reason, either doesn't turn out or doesn't turn out the way you want it, or you see it as a potential to do a different type of cake. And so what you'll do is you'll take that recipe and either re-cake it by reworking it so that it'll work out, or just doing it again to make sure that you didn't have a mistake with it, or doing it again, but making substantial changes to it, and basically ending up with a different cake. To me, that is part of the exploratory, the core of discovery of cake baking is to go ahead and re-cake a recipe that maybe was just okay, but you think you can punch it up a little bit more. I've done a lot of re-cakes.
We have about $500 to go. Call in at the $120 level, or pick up two for $240 and keep one for yourself and give one as a gift. That's Melissa Gray's All Cakes Considered. Give us a call, 1-866-897-9678. 1-866-897-9678. We are very close, and we appreciate your support very, very much. We have about $500 to go. Thanks to everybody who's called in today or gone online to pledge at WOSU.org. Every little bit helps. Every little bit helps. Never forget that every little bit helps. 1-866-897-9678 at the $120 pledge level. Our gift to you, All Cakes Considered by Melissa Gray, producer at All Things Considered. There's a lot of helpful hints in this book. It starts, if you work through it from the first chapter back, you're going to start with the simpler recipes, back to the more complicated ones. And right smack in the middle of the book almost is a section on what you should know about baking with chocolate. Melissa, what do you think is the top, the main trick with cooking with chocolate?
Well, if you're going to actually cook with chocolate versus cocoa, and a lot of chocolate cakes are perfectly delicious using cocoa in them, cocoa's a lot easier to work with. But if you're actually going to take chocolate pieces and melt them down, the thing you've got to remember about chocolate is not to get it too hot. Chocolate has a low melting point, and it needs to be sort of gently nudged into melting. You don't want to put it on high on the stovetop because you can scorch it and basically ruin the taste. So whenever I have to melt chocolate pieces, say I want to use like a real high-end chocolate to make a chocolate frosting, I will use a double boiler and let the heat from the water underneath gently melt the chocolate. It also lets you infuse the chocolate with other tastes. For instance, if I wanted to do chocolate and I wanted it to have, say, dark chocolate with a little bit of peppermint, kind of playing on the Naughty Senator recipe, mm-hmm. I would want to very gently melt it over the double boiler and then very, carefully ease in this extra flavor and let it mingle. You got to be really gentle with chocolate because it will seize up, too, if you get too much water in it.
In a double boiler, it could be as simple as, your saucepan with a bowl on top
mm-hmm.
of it. It just needs that moist heat.
Did that for years and then mm-hmm. finally decided when I was working on this book that I actually needed a double boiler.
reading this book, I still haven't bought a big stand-up mixer.
Oh, you need to get one.
I know, I
do. Everybody needs one of those.
I know.
Even if you get like an old, say you're not going to bake that much, it's still good to have one because you can use it for baking. You can use it for making mashed potatoes. Mm-hmm. You can make it for, you know, doing all sorts of things. But the beauty of a stand-up mixer is that it frees your hands
right.
up, and you can multitask in the kitchen and get
right.
more stuff done. I've gone through, I think, 3 stand-up mixers in my career.
Wow.
Here. Yeah, and my poor little KitchenAid that I worked so hard for this book, it's got a stripped gear in it, so it's got a little hitch in its giddy-up. So eventually one day I'll have to replace that one with a new Fire Engine red one, I think. But I have to say the KitchenAids are, I got to give them a shout-out. They are tough. They are tough. They're like the SUVs of mixers. But everybody should have a stand-up mixer, even if you're just baking a cake
once or twice a year. I think I would bake more if I did have one.
Oh, so what's stopping you?
I just wanted to make that confession. I always feel I have to confess and be honest about things. And when I was a kid, I wasn't allowed to use the hand mixer or anything powered. And I'd stay home from school sick, and I would make tapioca pudding, and I would literally whip the egg whites with a spoon in a bowl.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
See,
so.
Can
you imagine that?
Too much. It's just too much. I can imagine my great aunts before they. My aunt has a great story. She's like 1950. She would make all of these cakes for Christmas, you know, whipping them, doing them by hand. And then for Christmas, my uncle gave her a mixer, and she was so angry. She said, "Why didn't you give this to me 2 weeks ago?" But she used it the next year and the following years.
Uh-huh.
Still, that's a family story. It gets told a lot.
It's a good one, though. It's a very good one. What took you so long? Better than a vacuum cleaner. We have $400 to go. That is just a few people calling in for All Cakes Considered at the $120 pledge level. All Cakes Considered is yours as our gift to you for thank you for your support of public radio at WOSU 820. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820. And my guest is Melissa Gray, author of All Cakes Considered. We have $400 to go. Give us a call at 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. Or go to WOSU.org. We have a few more minutes for your questions or comments as well. 614-292-8513. Or email us at allsides@WOSU.org. I'm thinking about what else we haven't gotten to. I want to make sure people know as much as they can. I said it was an essential book for every baker's library, and it absolutely is. It's funny, and it has a lot of comments from your favorite NPR hosts, reporters, and contributors, including Steve Inskeep and All Things Considered host Robert Siegel. He actually does the intro.
He does do the intro, and Robert is one of the rare people who doesn't have the cake every Monday. He will occasionally have a slice of cake, but he is very disciplined, is always watching his weight, and so he avoids the cake as best he can. He's a cookie fiend, though. Anytime I bring cookies in, I see him sneaking them.
So there's a chapter for him as well.
There's a chapter for him as well. But Robert is, as always, a very wonderful gentleman. And he says, as he says in the book, he says he doesn't need to eat the cake to see how much the staff enjoys it. And that's one of the things I love about this book. It really brings us together. The cakes bring us together every Monday as a staff. It's a great way to start the week. And it just sort of continues that public radio sense of community, which we all have. And that's why people call in to support NPR and to support local stations. You want to be part of a community. You want to join in the business of bringing great radio programming to everybody.
And it's a conversation every day on All Sides with Ann Fisher. My conversation today is with Melissa Gray. She is the author of All Cakes Considered. It is yours as our thank you gift for your pledge of $120. We're down to $400. We have just 2 minutes to go. Give us a call at 1-866-897-9678. Help us make the $2,000 pledge goal this hour, 1-866-897-9678, or go to WOSU.org and our secure server and make your pledge online. That will count toward our $2,000 goal as well. You can find out in this book, what is Carl Castle's favorite cake? I know, and I'm not telling. The other thing that I loved, you talk about what cake pans to use, what works, what doesn't. You give tips for icing a cake and making it beautiful. You even explain how different ovens work and how you know, how you can figure out what the best way, you know, what the best time is for your oven. Little stuff like that, because, you know, of course, Melissa works in a very small kitchen with a very small oven, apparently. And I think somebody ought to get her a decent size oven, by the way. And but right now, show your support for the radio station. Show Melissa that you care about your local radio station. $280 to go. We have a contact. We have a contact for Leslie and the Jamaican black cake. We'll get to that. Thank you, Melissa, for all your help. Melissa Gray, author of All Cakes Considered. We have one more minute to go. We can still make it. $280. That's just, I don't know, maybe four or five books, something like that, or two or three books. I can't even count anymore. All righty. Melissa, I will get you the email as soon as we go off the air. And
great.
Thank you to everybody and Melissa Gray for your help today. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus and streaming on the web at WOSU.org, WOSU 820 NPR News. Thank you.